Holy Jaylen Brown. JB goes off for a career high in a Boston Celtics blowout of Memphis, and I'm talking about it. On this Thursday, Locked On Celtics. Milk. Let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics, and I host this here podcast. And I thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. So I'm here for you every day of the week. And thanks to your ratings and your reviews and your sharing, this is the number one Boston Celtics podcast anywhere. There is none better. There is none more highly rated than this one right here. So as we close out 2020, thank you very much for making that possible. Today, I am talking about a 126-107 game that was not really that close. The Celtics beating the Memphis Grizzlies, who were missing half of their team, basically, getting destroyed by Jaylen Brown primarily, and the rest of the Celtics entirely. 126-107, again, the final score. Some statistics from this game. Jaylen Brown, 42. That sounds like a lot. It's because it is, because he's never scored that many in an NBA game. 15 of 21 shooting. Oh, jeez. 7 of 10 from 3. 5 of 6 from the line. His true shooting percentage is like off the charts in this one. 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Nice to see 4 assists on a 42-point night. A steal for JB. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists for Jason Tatum. 14 points for Marcus Smart. 12 for Daniel Tice. Robert Williams was the rebounding leader with 10. The assist leader was kind of split. It was very evenly distributed. Jaylen Brown again with that 4. Teague had 4. Smart had 4. And then Pritchard had 3, Tatum had 3. A lot of spreading the ball around, a lot of sharing the ball in this one. So generally, this is how the format of a post-game show goes. The good, segment 1, the bad, segment 2, and then some other storylines in segment 3. So the good, let's see, where should I start? How about with Jaylen Brown? Why not? He was cooking, man. He was cooking. You could see it right away. He was hitting pull-ups in people's faces. These are not necessarily shots that you'd say, oh yeah, I'm comfortable with him taking these shots. But the way he was stepping into them, it was such a different feel from earlier this season. They didn't start two bigs. They started because Tristan Thompson was out. They started Jeff Teague, and they ran like a little bit of a different. They still ran pick and roll and everything, but the way the offense was run because of the two bigs was different. And he was stepping into some shots. And I don't want to say that those were bad shots. They weren't bad shots, but they just kind of felt a little like quick. And because they went in, it's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And if they missed, if he didn't have a 71.5% field goal percentage, then maybe we would have thought like, oh, maybe some of those shots, maybe should have moved the ball around. But when they're falling, they're falling. And that's when guys take heat checks, because you hit a couple. And then you say, all right, I'm feeling good. Let me just see. Oh, that went in too? All right, baby. Let's boogie. That's just a great feeling on the floor. I've never had like 42 points in an NBA type of game, but being in the zone is just a fun place to be. And don't let anybody tell you that the zone is not real. Anybody who's played the game and anybody who's scored a few points in bunches can tell you the zone is a real place. It's a fun place to be. When you get into that zone, the shot just feels so smooth. Oh, baby. You just, as soon as you leave it, you're like, oh, that is wet. Splash. That's so good. Give me that ball again. I want to shoot another one. Let's go play some defense so I can get that ball back. I want to shoot it again. It is such a good feeling. And to do it at the NBA level, to drop 42. And yeah, Memphis was under, you know, just shorthanded. They were undermanned. They, everything that this, I'm not looking at this game as a, like, oh, this proves the Celtics are back. But I will say, as an aside, and Brad Stevens did give them this credit, it would have been very easy for the Boston Celtics to come into this game and say, we're on a back-to-back. They're shorthanded. No Ja. No Jaren Jackson. We can just coast. It doesn't matter. We'll just coast. And it'll be ugly and whatever. And that's what I was expecting. I was on the radio and I told them, I said, don't eat directly before this game because it could be very ugly and gross. But to the Celtics' credit, they came out and Brad Stevens said it. I thought we came out with the right mindset. They really did come into this game trying to lay the hammer down right away. Memphis, to their credit, kept it kind of close at the beginning, but Boston was able to pull away, and then JB got hot. Tatum did some damage too, but as Brad Stevens said after the game, coming in with that right mentality, coming in and playing the right way early is part of why those shots started to fall, and you could see it right away with Jaylen Brown. And he was just feeling it. Everything was working. And when I say everything was working, like the passing, he threw one sick pass to Tatum, like a half court bounce pass. That is my favorite. If you're a longtime listener or reader, you'll know my favorite pass, any kind of interior passing, like Kevin Garnett making a spin move, drawing people, and then dumping it down to Perk for a dunk is like orgasmic to me. Like, that's just so awesome. Good interior passing blows my mind. That pass that Jaylen Brown is like a close second. That Jaylen Brown half court bounce pass is a vertical pass. So you're throwing it like directly in front of you between two defenders. They're running, so they're just kind of like trying to get their bearings. And you throw it like right at their feet. It splits them and bounces right up to Tatum in stride for a layup. That is just, to quote the immortal Cedric Maxwell, the great Cedric Maxwell, somebody get me a napkin, because that's how nice that pass is. Just, mwah, chef's kiss, love it. So Jaylen Brown had the complete game going. Jason Tatum was right there with him. Like in the first quarter, they were like both 3 for 3 from three, and they were just kind of going back and forth. And then Jaylen just really took off and got hot, but Tatum was right there. There was a stretch where the Celtics, it was like 36, or actually it was 40 to 36, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum combined to Memphis. Like, those two were outscoring Memphis by 4. And by halftime, it was 40 to 40. That's how hot both of those guys were. So Tatum had his game going too, and then he just never needed to come back. They were just like, feed Jaylen, feed the hot hand. Let's before I completely forget, like, Marcus Smart had a very fine evening, and no one's going to talk about it, and we understand why, but 14 points on 4 of 9 shooting from 3, 5 of 11 overall, like I said, the 4 assists, 3 steals, a block. Marcus Smart had a really nice game. Marcus Smart was out there. He's kind of becoming a go-to catch-and-shoot corner 3 guy. Like, we're starting to see it. Now, the numbers we're going to have to watch, there's no point in really going and diving into these numbers, but his catch and shoot corner threes are something to watch, because right now they are good, like really good. And if they stay really good, then somewhere next month, maybe as we get towards the end of the first half of the schedule, we're going to start hearing if he can keep up something like this pace. And that's why I don't even want to look at it yet, but just, this is something that we're watching. It's like when a race starts, like a long race, and you see somebody like pulling out to somewhat of a lead or is in the front of the pack. Like you watch the Boston Marathon and you see like, oh wow, this is interesting. This person's in the lead pack. Okay. Let's just keep an eye on that. We're in mile, you know, 5 and we've still got a long way to go, but this person's in the lead pack. We didn't quite see that coming. So, all right, we'll file it away and see in mile 10 if this person's still in the lead pack. That's where Marcus Smart is with his corner threes. Catch and shoot corner threes. When I come back, some bad things. Bad things in a blowout? Couple. There were a couple. Might not bet on it, but it does exist. Bad things in a blowout. BetOnline.ag does not have the odds on how many bad things happen in a blowout, but if anybody would, it's them. What they do have are the lines, the in-game betting, the prop bets, and everything that you need for football, college and pro, basketball, college and pro, basically anything that you want to lay some money on. Just go to betonline.ag, the one place that has you covered, the one place that we trust. Sign up for free. It's a free account, betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Whatever you throw in there in your first deposit, they'll give you an extra 50% of that number. So it's like winning your first bet by signing up at betonline.ag. And seriously, at halftime, you could have bet on the over-under for the rest of the game or the third quarter or different things throughout the game. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, if that's something that you enjoy, then give it a shot. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get into the action. Use that promo code Locked On. You'll get 50% off. It's a welcome bonus. 50% off your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. So you've created your free Bet Online account. Now you want to find that edge because you want to win those bets. It does not have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, talked about the good. Now here's some of the bad. I saw Aaron Nesmith played. He got about 20 minutes. He didn't shoot well. I'm not so worried about that, okay? He hit a three. He got a nice dunk on a feed from Tremont Waters. I'm not worried about him making the shots. He's probably got a lot going through his head. It's early. I'm not too concerned about that. But I sat here a couple weeks ago and I said, how bad does Aaron Nesmith have to be to not get 15 minutes a game? He has to get 15 minutes a game. I said that. And he's getting 0 minutes a game. That matter anyway. And in this game, watching him live for the first time, really, in extended minutes, I saw twice him have to be directed where to be on a play. And a third time, the play broke. That wasn't his fault. But then he kind of stayed in an area next to Carson Edwards, and Carson Edwards had to shoo him away. And so My feeling, having finally seen some basketball from Aaron Nesmith, is that he's just struggling a little bit to pick things up. And he needs more time to learn the offense. It would be great if he had a G League team to go to, because I think he just needs to get some reps and to just figure things out on the fly without the pressure of an NBA season, an NBA game. And I think some of that is, I think he's thinking too much, basically, is what I'm saying. I think he's thinking too much. And any basketball player will tell you, if you're thinking out on the floor, you're dead. And I think it's that simple. He clearly, look, he's obviously a good shooter. I can see it. The form looks good. He shoots with confidence. We've seen him drill shots in college. I think that'll happen. I think that'll come. He's got an NBA body. The guys rave about him. He puts in the effort. He's not like loafing around. I think he's just thinking. I think he's thinking too much. Jeff Teague, his offense, not great. Still not great. 0 for 2 from 3. 2 for 6. I tried to reverse jinx on Twitter because I don't believe in jinxes, but I thought, what the hell, I'll play along. So someone said, don't say anything about Teague. I said, he's going to go 0 for 7. Hopefully that could have been something I quote tweeted and that would have ended this whole thing. But his offense was just not great. He'll figure it out. I'm not worried. It's going to be up and down. He's an offensive player. So he still had 4 assists, but what he did have was 4 steals. You know what? Those two things that I mentioned were the only two bad things I'm going to talk about. Let's spend the rest of the segment talking about more good stuff. It was a blowout. So that's it. The bad was two things, two bad things. That's great. In a blowout, perfect. Back to the good, more good. Jeff Teague's defense. How about that? Jeff Teague playing defense. 4 steals for Jeff Teague. Teague was really good and kind of a big part of that lead in the second quarter extending. When you get great defense like that out of Teague, that's a big plus. And he was out there for some of the biggest Celtics runs. So despite his shooting not panning out, and I think sometimes he looks like a little too much. Now, I think he's looking to get going a little too much. Like, he just needs to understand that if you're starting, then you're on the floor with Tatum and Brown and Smart, and don't worry about your shot. You just keep defenses honest. Don't go crazy looking for your offense. You do that when you're coming off the bench. But defensively, that, like, this type of game from Teague, I'll take this every night. If he's going to score 4 points in this starting role but still have 4 assists and 4 steals, I'll take it. I mean, some of those shots are going to fall, so I feel like confident enough that he'll hit one or two, but if he can put this defensive effort out all the time, again, it was against the Grizzlies. Half their team was out, and they lost Grayson Allen in the middle of it, which I'll just leave that alone. So Teague's defense was good. How about Robert Williams? Let's give a shout out to Robert Williams, who had 10 rebounds, a team high 10 rebounds. He also had a couple assists, including a spectacular tip pass on a play in the third quarter where Jaylen Brown looped it in to Robert Williams and they collapsed on him. And as he didn't even grab it, a little touch pass out to the corner, I believe to Tatum for 3. I think it was to Tatum. Or Smart. It was Smart. Again, catch and shoot corner 3. Whoever it was. I think it was Smart. That tip pass was just phenomenal. Because a tip pass is... It involves so much. Recognition. Awareness. Like, the ball's in the air. You know that there's a guy in the corner. You feel a defense around you. And you have an instant to make this decision. The human brain doing this calculus in its inside of you, you don't even realize it's going on. That ball is in the air and you're like, uh-oh, well, I can't catch this. Here's the situation. When you make that play, that's just a beautiful play. And I got to hand it to him. And some people might be like, it's just a tip pass. But the tip pass is just a special kind of recognition because you've got to be coordinated enough. You got to go up. You got to get it. You got to see with the floor, all of that stuff. But Robert Williams, he is ahead. I think he is ahead of where he was at this point last year. I think what we're seeing from Robert Williams is that improvement, that incremental improvement. I think him getting these minutes is very valuable. We're not seeing a lot of those same lapses. We're seeing some miscommunication, but those lapses that he's known for haven't been plaguing him like they've plagued him in the past. Still has a lot of work to do. Still has his moments for sure, but he has shown good growth and has shown that he can give some valuable minutes. And I think what this means is if the Celtics do want to go double big, they can bring Robert Williams off the bench. My question is now, what do the Celtics do when Kemba comes back? How do they roll? Do they start Kemba and put Smart on the bench and still go double big and just boost the bench? Do they go with a single big? Because that eats into Robert Williams' minutes. I don't know what they decide to do. But if they go double big, then Robert Williams can certainly find a role in that. And I think he's showing that he earned it. 4 blocks in this game. Just worth it. But also, one guy that he could take the minutes from would be Daniel Theis. But Daniel Theis had a nice game as well. 5 of 7, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a couple of blocks for himself. This is a nice game for him. He said after the game that like he is much more comfortable as a 5, and this is probably why he had a much better game. And it's a good piece of information for Brad Stevens, who is very much in an information gathering mode. The 2 big lineups, I think, have worked in certain scenarios. Like they've worked at the start of games. I don't think the Celtics, I've said this on the podcast, I said it last night. The Celtics at the starts of games have been okay. The Celtics in the middle of games or in the third quarter, that's where things fall apart for some reason. Now, what does Brad Stevens want to do? What does this information mean? Does a Daniel Theis good game like this against this Memphis team mean as much as it might in another scenario? Maybe, maybe not. But for Daniel Theis, when he says after the game, yeah, I'm more comfortable as a 5. I've worked hard to get comfortable as a 5, and now I have to learn the 4. And it does change his role, not just like the dynamic, the job that he has to do, how he does his job. Because he said, as a 5 on offense, I would just turn and run and go down the middle of the floor. Now I have to turn and see, is Tristan down the middle of the floor? Okay, now I've got to go space. I've got to go out to the wing. You're making another decision. You have to, your reads change. The pick and roll defense changes because now Daniel Theis is on the wing and Tristan Thompson is in the pick and roll. So instead of being up on the ball and saying, what are we doing? Are we blitzing? Am I dropping? Are they veering him into me? What is the defense? Either way, no matter what, Daniel Theis is on the ball. Now defensively, and this might be part of why the Celtics have some defensive issues with the double big lineup, he's on the wing. The wing's responsibilities are different. Does he have to go down? Is he tagging the roll man? Is he coming over and preventing that roll from getting to the rim unimpeded? Is he leaving too far from his guy, his responsibility? His responsibility in that coverage changes, and it has to be a lot more lateral movement, a lot more seeing the entire floor. So it is a big adjustment. And so Brad Stevens has a lot a lot to figure out. Like, there's no possible way that after five games, he can answer these questions. And the more we dig into this, the more we realize, like, wow, there's no possible way that we could know, well, is the two big lineup going to work? What do you do when Kemba comes back? Jeff Teague starting tonight was not a good kind of proxy for what the Celtics will look like with Kemba back. And that's all of that stuff to figure out is difficult. Jaylen Brown had this awesome game, but I think part of why he had this awesome game, not because, oh, they went single big and he got to play this certain way. I think he just started hitting shots. And, you know, when you drop 42, a lot of that is hitting shots. You know, again, when a player has a big time scoring game, sometimes it's just, I'm feeling it and I'm taking these shots and it's just going to, this is happening tonight. This is just going to happen, and sit back and enjoy the show. So a lot of information gathering going on. Up next, a little bit more on Jaylen and these small lineups when I come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. When you need fantasy basketball advice, and I certainly do, it's important that you have a reliable source. So more people trust Josh Lloyd, host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, more than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast. Lots of number one podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, by the way. Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Some finishing thoughts here on the small lineup and the lineups in general. I don't know. Like, I spent a little bit of time talking about Peyton Pritchard, and I didn't talk much about Peyton Pritchard because he was good, but, you know, he was good. Solid. This is a nice 21-minute stint, 8 points, 3 assists, a couple of steals, just 1 turnover. Nice job. Nice job. But nothing that makes you say, oh, wow, we got to play this guy. You know, we got to start this guy. But I don't know what the answer is in the starting lineup. You know, it might be Peyton Pritchard. I'm not going to sit here and say, because I don't think it should be, I'm not going to say that it's not. It could be. And this is why the information gathering is so important, and why Brad Stevens, whether you like it or not, so many of his decisions do not necessarily go into impacting that particular game. Like, there might be a decision where you say, okay, I'm going to do this and hopefully this works, but maybe it's going to be something that we figure out works down the road. The information, the failure, it's a very science type experiment thing of sometimes failure is more important than success, because when you fail, you rule something out. And a lot of times scientifically, when you have success, you're like, okay, that was good. Can we do that again? Can we duplicate that success this way? Or was that an anomaly? Like, sometimes success comes with as many questions as you had before you succeeded, just a kind of a different set of questions. And I think that's kind of what we saw in this game. Like, the Celtics really succeeded, but it's so hard to take from this game, like, well, would they have succeeded like this against Ja Morant? Would Ja Morant have changed the initial dynamic of this game? Maybe, probably. Would Marcus Smart have had this offensive game, having had to guard Ja Morant? Would he have been in position foul-wise even? I mean, we trust Marcus Smart to guard Ja Morant, but Ja Morant's, you know, one of the young up-and-coming stars in this league, who's an athletic freak that is difficult for anybody to guard. Like, you don't stop necessarily Ja Morant all the time, you have, at some point he's going to score on you. And he puts pressure on you even if he doesn't score. So when you go back and look at this game, this blowout, and you say, man, like I said at the beginning, like Jaylen Brown, some of the shots that he took felt like quick shots. And the heat check shots, once that heat check went in, you're like, all right, shrug. we're gonna ride this and see how long it lasts. And luckily it lasted three quarters, and it didn't have to last the fourth, because fourth was all garbage time. But against this team, it's so hard to say what really, really worked and what didn't. There are no determinations to come out of this. But the only one determination, really, game-wise, not like talent-wise, because we know we could already determine that Jaylen Brown is a potential all-star this year. Again, I still think we can say Jason Tatum's the best player on the team. Jaylen Brown has been the best player this season so far. Like, Jaylen Brown has been consistently all around this team's best player, I think. And Jason Tatum, obviously, right there. And Jason Tatum is the guy we talk about as the MVP candidate. But I think both of these guys are going to be potential all-stars. It's kind of a shame that they don't have a game to play in together. But I think that we're looking at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum becoming East all-stars this year. The way these guys are playing, if they can keep this up, then this is two all-stars here. But, you know, he got hot. You could easily chalk this up to he got hot. The hard work pays off in games like this where you get hot. So, not a lot in some ways to take out of this game. The lineup questions are going to be there, and we're going to see a lot more experimentation. I'm just setting the expectations now. Against Detroit, Detroit's bad. I mean, it's great that the Celtics finally get to play some bad teams. Detroit is bad. So what are the Celtics going to do against them? Are they going to keep the same mindset? That's the important thing. Go out there with the mindset of kill these guys right away. Go out there and say, we're going to blow you out in the first quarter, and we're going to make it so you don't even want to think about coming back. That's the only thing we're looking for against Detroit. But what is actionable? What do you put in that binder and say, all right, we're going to file this away because this is important? Now, Jaylen Brown got hot, and the interesting thing, I kind of like this. He came out and he said, you know, I came out in the third quarter, and everybody on the bench was like, hey, you're right at your career high. And he was like, oh, really? So he said, I gave Brad a wink, and I said, can I get two more minutes? And Brad Stevens said, yeah, you can get two more minutes. Now, I know some people have the reaction of, well, we're lucky he didn't get hurt. And yes, of course, you're lucky. Any minute the guy's on the floor, any single minute a guy's on the floor, he can get hurt. Could roll his ankle, something. He could step the wrong way. That's a risk in the first second of the game or the last second of garbage time. It's always a risk. But he goes back out there. He gets eight more points. He sets his career high at 42. It's a nice coaching move from Brad Stevens, because you got a guy that's busted his ass. You got a guy, you look at everything that Jaylen Brown has done. Think about everything, where he's come from throughout his time in Boston, what he was as a rookie, the perceptions of him coming out of Cal, and everything that he's grown into. On and off the court, this guy has accepted every challenge. He has stared media down every day, every time he's asked, and said basically the right thing every single time, wants the responsibility of being a leader, wants to evolve his game. He's out there working. And this is a moment where it's kind of like when a kid asks for ice cream and you know that the kid's been working all year in school and all of that stuff, and the kid wants some ice cream, and you're like, all right, you get some ice cream. I know it's not the greatest thing, but you know what? You can get some ice cream. That's fine. 2 minutes of garbage time to go back in and get a 40-piece. You know, when Jalen comes out of that, it's like it's a nice feeling. Like when a coach has your back like that, when a coach is like, yeah, all right, okay, go have fun. Go have fun for 2 more minutes. It's fine. Don't get hurt. Just be careful out there. Just play good ball and do your thing. And he did. And Daniel Tice brought it up. And I wrote it in the piece that I wrote on RedsArmy.com. Daniel Tice is like, the guy's got 40 points and they collapse on him and he dumps it off. He kicks it out. Like, he's still making the right play. So a lot of good things happened in those last 2 minutes. You think about Jalen goes out and gets his 42. He's feeling good about himself. You get that little bit of a, hey, thanks, Brad. That's not a big deal. It's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's still a nice thing. You know that Brad gets it. Brad gets it. Yeah, go ahead. And then he's out there, and when they collapse on him, he's passing to guys. He's dumping it off, and his teammates are like, you know what? We know why you're out here. We're perfectly happy to, you know, here, take the ball. Go ahead, go score, man. If I'm a teammate of this guy and he's on, I'm trying to now feed him, because when I get hot, I want to be fed. It's you scratch my back, I scratch yours. We all get it. But he's out there and he's passing in that moment. So his teammates are like, you know what? That's cool. I appreciate that he's trying to make the right play. That just gives that little extra, what was this phrase? A deposit in the bank of trust. That's a deposit in the bank of trust. Because when it's late in the game and you've got the ball and Brown is open, you know that if you give it to him and you cut, you can get that ball back. Even if you're Daniel Tice, even if you're Jeff Teague, you know that he'll give it back to you if it's the right play. That's important. So in the middle of all of these things that are fun and, you know, hey, blowout and 42 points and all that stuff, just little tiny deposits in the bank of trust. These little tiny things that over time add up. And over time, this is what chemistry is. This is what team building is. These little things. Doing the right thing. When you say building championship habits, these little things. That's just part of the foundation of a good team. And they're trying to build a good team. They had a good team last year. It's a different team now. And they're trying to build a good team. And so you look for these little things everywhere. And not trying to overblow it. Just it's a little thing. But like saving your pennies in that jar, those little things, they add up after a while. And at the end of the season, you hope to empty out that piggy bank, empty out that jar, and have enough money to buy yourself a nice trophy. Thanks for listening. I hope you have enjoyed the podcast. If you're new and this is your first time, then I hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Regular listeners, you know I love you because you've given that 5-star rating and you've given that good review. If you haven't yet, please do so, because it's important. It helps me out. This is my source of income, and I don't ask any money from you. I just ask you to rate it and review it. And one last thing, share it. If you ever find an opportunity where people are asking you about what podcast should I listen to, just let them know. The Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.